again here in just a little bit, but I'm so grateful that the KCU team was here, and this has just been a wonderful morning of worship. So if we haven't met yet, I'm terribly sorry. My name is Jeff, and I really make a almost sometimes creepy point to like introduce myself to you. I want to know who you are. I see a new face. I'm like, oh, I'm excited to see a new face. And I do our outreach stuff here at the church. And so anyway, I'd love to talk to you more after the service. Well, if you were here with us last week, you know that we began a new sermon series that we're calling I'm In, right? And we'll be ending this series next Sunday with questions that you ask. And so during the message this morning, Steve's number is going to be on the side screens. And today is the last day to turn in those questions for next Sunday's sermon. So please, if you have a question about church membership, you have a question about Rise Christian Church, please feel free to ask those questions, jot down Steve's number, and send those messages today. Today's the last day. And this is just for me, but one of the things I love the most about this leadership, and one of the things I love most about this community, is knowing that your voice is heard here. Your questions, I assure you, your questions will be addressed that you ask about in the sermon next week. So, well, last week, as Steve began this discussion on church membership, he mentioned through Scripture, and let me just say this, and I'll say it again later on, but Scripture is and has always been our primary guide here at the church. Steve mentioned in Scripture last week that we see church membership as that we are all necessary parts of the whole, that we're all different, but yet we still work together. That everything that we do and say are based on a biblical foundation of love. And then fourth of all, that church membership is a functioning membership. And what I want to do in my message here this morning, I actually just want to add a fifth point to those wonderful four points. But so I want to add this, that we believe that church membership is a gift. Now, obviously, when we talk about the church, that we have to really kind of have two different conversations here. So when we talk about being a part of the church, you think the universal church, the big C church, right? And Paul talks about the big C church in Romans chapter 12, verse 5. And the big C, the universal big C church, is composed of all true believers all around the world, living and dead. So the full body of Christ is global, and the full body of Christ is timeless. And the local churches, the little C church, are supposed to be this microcosm of the big C church, of the universal church. As believers, we have our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that's what's important. Now, church membership isn't a salvation issue. I'm going to say that right at the front here. Your heaven and hell isn't going to hinge on whether you commit to work and to worship together with us here or whether you commit to work and to worship together at some other local church. But we do believe that church membership is important. And we believe that Scripture leads us to that importance. So even through church membership, even though it's not a salvation issue, we believe that church membership is a fellowship issue. It's a discipleship issue. It's a maturity. It's a church membership is a matter of submission and accountability. It's important to commit to a local church where we can give of our resources, where we can serve others together, and where we can be accountable. Heather, I love this church family. We love this church family. We've been here, members here now for almost, 42 days. That's a joke. If you're new, you don't know maybe that we changed the name of the church to Rise Christian Church on January the 1st. But anyway, sincerely, Heather and I have been members here for almost 31 years. And we love this community. We love this church family. We have devoted the bulk of our life here in this community. And we devoted all three of our children's lives here to this community. And just to kind of establish this commitment here, whatever this is worth, we have no intention of leaving. And actually, Lord willing, and I'm going to point more about that Lord willing thing here in a minute, we've actually made steps here to be here The word retirement in ministry is a little different than retirement in the regular workforce, but it's our hope and dream to be here for the next 15 years until, Lord willing, that we would retire from here. And actually, with that statement, the Lord willing thing, I want to just say that I hope to be found faithful. This is my heart, to be found faithfully serving this church in this Central Ohio community when the Lord returns. That's my prayer. And I love this church. And I see this church as an incredible gift. So the first point I want to make with that frame of mind is that we believe that church membership highlights the nature of the gift. James, who was the brother of Jesus, and just to be completely transparent here, but James was a critic of Jesus' lordship until, of course, he watched his brother die, and then he watched his brother come back from the dead. It's amazing what a resurrection can do to a guy, right? But history says that James was the first leader of the church in Jerusalem. Here we go, local church. He was the first leader of the church in Jerusalem. He was martyred. He was killed for his belief in Jesus as the Christ in AD 62. So in his letter to the Jewish believers, James writes this, every good and perfect gift is from above, it coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all that he created. So the nature of the church membership is the same nature of the church, the body of Christ, the global body of Christ. And that's this, that it's a family, it's a community. It's a body of believers. And so membership is a way that we can kind of like raise our flag of faith, and we can say, this is where I will commit to being a part of this local body of believers. I think it's easy for us to relate to. It's easy for us to commit to. It's easy for us to express the joy in being a part of the universal church. But remember what we said earlier, that the universal church is Christ's body of all believers, near and far, living and gone to be with the Lord. But it's in the local church community, the family, the body, that God expects us to live out our faith. I've been blessed twice in my life to see the body of Christ outside of the borders of this country. Three churches, two I got to preach in Zimbabwe, one I got to go worship in, and I hear my buddy Ronnie Goodwin preach, but three churches in Zimbabwe that I got to be a part of that body of Christ, even though I didn't understand what they were saying, right? And actually, one of our churches in Zimbabwe meets every Sunday under the same tree. Talk about planting a church. That just gives a whole new light to that phrase, right? And actually, they've got this beautiful river that flows near that tree where they meet every Sunday that they do their baptisms in. And also, I got to be a part of this beautiful French-speaking. When my guy, the drummer out here, started singing in French, I was like, oh, you know, I don't understand what he was saying. But I got to be a part of a beautiful French-speaking church in Medigo, Haiti. Now, I don't know French, and so I had a reason that Sunday to not understand what the sermon was about. But all that being said, the local church is a wonderful gift of community. It's in this community that we make certain public choices. In this community, we choose to be led by God the elders. Being a part of this Church of Christ, a Christian church culture, or what we often call non-denominational. And this isn't really a definition, but it's kind of a characteristic. But one of the characteristics of a non-denominational church is that we choose our elders organically, or we are within our own church local body. Every year here, we ask the church members to affirm your support and to pledge your submission to the eldership. And I love our elders. I've known these men in different capacities for the last 30 years now. And I absolutely submit my authority to them. Actually, one of our elders was born 2 months after we hired on here. But I know that God called him and God placed him to lead this church family here as well. There was a young man who years ago, I worked with him in ministry in this community, and he once told me, he said, Jeff, I'll submit myself to you, but I'm not gonna submit myself to the church elders. And sadly, I said, well, then you're not submitting yourself to me either. This is why we the prayerful and fasting consideration, both for these men and for their families, and our prayerful and fasting choosing of these men to lead our church is so crucial to the life of and to the Lord's favor on our congregation. Also in this community, we choose to rally around a certain set of beliefs. Most of the New Testament was written specifically to certain church bodies, and then it was read together in their gatherings. And Paul wasn't the only one who mentioned specific church bodies in his letter. Jesus also calls out seven specific churches in the book of Revelation when he would say to John in his vision, to the church in Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea, write these words. As I mentioned earlier, our primary source of guidance is God's word, the Bible, and we stand on his unfaulted, infallible word together here in this community. In this community, we also choose to be accountable to godly people around us. The writer of Hebrews wrote, and let us consider how we might spur one another along towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. James, that we talked about before, the brother of Jesus, he also wrote this to the Jewish believers when he said, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And the Apostle Paul wrote to the local churches. Now, the churches in Galatia were a region of churches, right? But he wrote, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in the sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently, but watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. So who are you keeping yourself accountable to? You know, to acknowledge our boundaries, to acknowledge our weaknesses, that's a great sign of strength and growth. And it's one of the marks of this community here. In this community, we choose to take responsibility for the reputation of the church and the community. I love Gus Andrews, who was our preacher before Steve came, and I love what he would say. And it's a shame that he had to say this so often, but he would always say, some of the things that Christians are doing just puts a big black eye on the bride of Christ. One of my favorite preachers in the whole wide world, Steve Harley, one of my favorite preachers, I do love Steve, I really, really love Steve. One of my favorite preachers in the whole wide world, Louis Giglio, he always says this, he always says, let's make Jesus famous. See, folks, that's our responsibility. Our responsibility is to shine this light of Jesus so bright, or to paint this picture of the church so well that though we go against the culture of the world so many times, they will see the good deeds and they will glorify our Father who is in heaven. In this community, we also choose to stand side by side and to serve the community and to serve one another. In Galatians, Paul writes, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. So we're called to serve each other. And that flies way against the country club mentality that Steve talked about last week, where we ask, what's in it for me? Right? See, that what's in it for me thinking, that goes against what our focus is here. And we're not just supposed to serve the body. We're called to serve others as well. Here in a few weeks, on March the 17th, we're going to be heading out into the community to serve the community. And the reason that the church leaves the building a couple times each year is not for our own glory. It's not to snap some selfies, but it's so that people will see the hands and feet of Jesus Christ loving them and serving them in real and practical ways. So who are you intentionally loving and caring and supporting, whether inside or outside of the church? Be intentional about the way you love and care and support. In this community, we choose to love and care for one another. Last week, Steve shared some of Paul's words to the church in Corinth when he said, but God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. I hope this doesn't steal any blessing here, but I have seen this uprising of our young people in this church. And of course, I'm saying this from a 52-year-old man, so that means anyone like 35 and younger, right? Young people, children, kids. But I'm seeing this uprising, and especially in our life groups. And I want to tell you this, that this was the dream, right? It was like, what would it be like if we were taking care of our own people, right? What would it be like if our life groups were loving and supporting? They were the ones that were going to the hospital at night, and they were the ones that were going and taking meals to, that's the dream, that was the dream, and we're seeing that happen right now. And I don't want to steal anyone's blessings, but I want to say to you, young people, 35 and under, right? And our other life groups are doing awesome too, but I just want to say to you, young people, bravo, and keep up the good work, because that's the dream. That's what we do in this community. We choose to love and care for each other. It doesn't only highlight the nature of the gift, but it also acknowledges the benefits of the gift. We talked quite a bit last week about the fact that church membership is not about what you can get, but what you can give and what you can, who you can serve and love and care for. And that our primary concern, I love this quote, Steve, that this isn't about the people that are here. This is about the people that are not here yet. Jesus spoke very clearly in his message to the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. And by the way, a message that we need to hear today about the shepherd who had 100 sheep and he lost one. That he would leave the 99 in the open country and he would go after that one lost sheep, and when he finds it, he puts it on his shoulder, he calls his friends and closest family, and he celebrates that the one who was lost is now found. And Jesus says at the end of that story, he says, I tell you that in the same way, there's going to be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who do not need to repent. And we said this before, but our faith, our salvation, our church membership, it's not like a country club membership. It's not about what we get. It's not about the T-shirt or the church merch or the drip. Is that what the kids call it? You smiled, so that must be, I must be in the right. Yeah, it's not about the drip, right? Folks, listen, the attitude that we should have about the benefits of the gift of our faith, our salvation, of our church membership, it should be the same attitude as that shepherd that he had about the one lost sheep, about having established a base camp. This is what this is. This is a base camp, right? This is a sheepfold, and we get sent out from here to go gather lost sheep and bring the sheep back to the shepherd. So church membership, it highlights the nature of the gift. It acknowledges the benefits of the gift. And finally, I believe that church membership reflects our gratitude to the giver. When you are given a precious gift, you need to receive it. You need to receive it with full gratitude. You need to receive it. I don't know how many of you know this about me, but I love watches. And Seth just showed me his Apple Watch. I'm like, come on, dude, right? I love watches, like a watch, you know, and I love watches. And I also love coffee. So we used to meet every week on Tuesdays at one of the coffee shops downtown on the square. And there was a fellow that would always come into our group. And the reason that he would come into that coffee shop so often is because he lived very close to that coffee shop. In fact, he lived on the street near that coffee shop, and he would often get run out if we didn't say, hey, come on over here, Travis, you know. And then he's with us. And I remember one time I had gotten this watch from my wife, and I was wearing the watch, and Travis, and he's very simple, very sweet, and he said, oh, Jeff, I love that watch. I said, oh, thanks, Travis, that was a gift from my wife. Thank you very much. And he said, can I have it? And I was like, Travis, I love you, man, but you can't have my watch. This is a gift from my wife, right? And so, but I left that day, and I went to Heather, and I said, I got a crazy idea. I think we need to buy a watch for a homeless man, and I don't want to skimp on it either. And I love her heart for ministry, and she said, absolutely, we need to invest in a really nice watch because he's homeless, and we want to make sure that this thing isn't going to, like, it takes a lick and keeps on ticking thing. We want to make sure that this watch is going to be a nice watch. And so we bought this watch, and actually it was a nicer watch than the watch that I had from my wife, and I almost gave the watch from Heather and kept the one, yeah. But the day that I gave Travis that watch, And it was actually his birthday, and he said, well, this is the first birthday present I got. That was the first thing he said to me. This is the first birthday present I got. And I said, oh, you mean today because it's your birthday? And he said, no, no. He said, I've never gotten a birthday present from anyone before. And he said, this is the first watch that I've ever had. And so I had to show him how to, I should have got him a Apple Watch because they couldn't read it, right, because of the analog and stuff. I said it for him, and and I got one of these in my house now too, because I don't know if you know, but my youngest daughter got engaged recently, and like it's always like this, like, what did you say, Dad? You know, like that, right? Or what is it? What are you looking for? Something like that's. But that's the way Travis did with that watch. He held it out and he showed everyone in the coffee shop his new watch. But see, listen, here's the difference in this story is we're not talking about a watch here. We're talking about an invitation. At some point in time, maybe you're younger, maybe you're older, maybe it's this very minute right now when you're receiving the invitation. But someone took the time for you and they had consideration for you and they told you the awesome story of Jesus. And you accepted that story and you became a part of the Big C Church. You were welcomed into his body. But see, but there's another invitation too. And actually we know the time. And we know the place. It was almost 62 years ago that a group out of Second Church Christ decided to buy a property, 20 acres, out in the sticks, out in Dayton Road, right? And this is the invitation, because at some point you moved into the neighborhood. Right? At some point you moved into the community. At some point somebody from school or somebody or your coworker said to you, hey, you ought to come and check out my church. This is we love this church. This is a community where we make these public decisions. And this is an invitation for you to be a part of this as well. After this video, I'm gonna pray, and there's gonna be a video. After this video, Drew's gonna come and share. As the kids come back up to sing the closing song, we're gonna be standing over in the fireside. And if you wanna make any decision, if you wanna just be prayed with, come and join us over in the fireside after this video. But let me pray first. Lord gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that you died for your church. You died for the gathering, for the factions of your believers, the sheepfolds, the base camps. You died for the base camps that would go out from themselves and reach out to other lost sheep. Lord, be with us as a church family. Lord, you have created this family in such a magical way, and you allowed my family to be a part of this church family that we love so much for so many years. Lord, I pray that we continue. I pray that there's a continued blessing, Lord. We pray for your favor on this church body gathered here. Lord, we're nowhere imperfect. But Lord, I just thank you so much that you have given us the hope of perfection. We love you, Lord, and we thank you. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.